So, Mark, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
2 months on the job. Last month when you were here, we were talking about how you were getting acquainted with the job. Now that you're a veteran with a whole approximate 8 weeks under the belt, what are you spending most of your time thinking about these days?
You know, that's funny you ask, because as I stand back, I wonder sometimes, you know, what are the key priorities that I am working on? And I would say that there are clearly some day-to-day responsibilities that come up all of the time that I'm dealing with. But there's, at the outset, really four major areas. I see the issue of enrollments as just one of the most important things for us to be working on. We have, like all the other University of Wisconsin system schools, found that we're subject to the demographics in the state. And if we don't address enrollments because of the importance of being able to graduate more Wisconsin students, if we look at the financial impact, and we look at all the other things that are important for the university, that's really got to be job one. So that's one. The second one is continuing to work on the final stages of the strategic plan, wrapping that up, having the at this point we're moving into very much the editing phase of it, because we'd like to really move forward and implement a lot of the elements of it beginning this fall. So working on that piece. At a high level, the comprehensive campaign, what we call Vision 2020, also, we have not lost a beat on that. So I continue to meet with, on at least a weekly basis, if not multiple times a week, the campaign co-chairs and many of our good friends and supporters to have great discussions about the things that we do to steward gifts and to build the vision of UWM as a stronger institution. And then finally, looking at some of the types of support from the state. In this particular time frame, the campus is, as I think most folks know, is we're putting, you know, the budget together for the next biennial budget. We're looking at the things that can help make UWM a stronger university. So we've got some specific requests and some areas that we'd like to work on, both individually for UW-Milwaukee as well as in collaboration with our other UW system and community partners.
Mm-hmm. So let me back you up to enrollment management, because as you suggested, some of that is just demographic and not much you're going to be able to do to change that. But you're also running into a scenario where every UW school, as you suggest, but also schools in our neighboring states are all thinking about how do you boost enrollment, how do you retain the students once they're there. I mean, what is the secret sauce that you have to develop in order to turn this around or to make it the situation more tolerable for UWM?
Well, I think to some extent the challenge is facing college students, college-bound students in this state and really across the country. We've reached the peak of what we can see as far as the limits of tuition and how that's a limiting factor. That's a huge issue. Aside from demographics, I mean, people cannot afford, parents and students. It's just very challenging to attend college in light of all the other expenses and cost of living and economic activities that are at a given level. So to break out of the pack is a phrase I like to use to really not continue to have the enrollment decline. I think what we need to do is a couple of different things. One is clearly pull back the kimono, if you will, the covers, to share the story of how great the faculty experience, how great the learning, how great the research, how great the things are that we're doing in this community. What a remarkable educational experience you can have at UWM. It's well known to our alumni. It's just every single day the types of things that are happening in the classrooms, out in the community, in the labs, across, in terms of the theater productions, the way that you can learn to do so many different things, the internships that we can park students in, that they can learn and reside so much in the community. You just can't do that very easily in a lot of other locations. So we have this wonderful opportunity in Milwaukee So number one, we've got to tell our story better. We just absolutely have to make that clear. Second, I think we have to look at some of the things that we've done well around non-traditional student audiences and continue to expand upon those. So as we talk about returning students, transfer students, veterans, other populations, out of state, international, those that are not just the profile of the students that are graduating from high school today. Clearly, with Wisconsin having gone from 66,000 students graduating from high school 5 years ago to today's 60,000 students per year, that's just a shrinking pool, and that's projected to decline for another couple of years and then steady out. And interestingly, around the Midwest, there are other states that will continue to decline even more precipitously. So we really do have to look at different audiences for our continued enrollment growth.
And if, as you suggest, there's a limit on tuition, setting aside the state imposed limits on tuition increases, you're finding yourself doing more with less, which... So when you mentioned the comprehensive fundraising campaign, is that the reason why you can't skip a beat on that campaign?
That's a big part of it. Scholarships are central to that. And if we can help students through the campaign with assistance of any kind, that's just going to make it that much more successful that our students will be able to stay in college at UWM and continue to succeed in their careers and move on and be so much more productive in the workplace, having the college degree and the types of skills and competencies that are developed, whether it's at the undergraduate, master's, or beyond. So that's absolutely one of the central pillars of our campaign is the scholarship fund areas.
So then you also talked about moving forward with requests as part of the biennial budget process. Are you feeling that you'll get a receptive ear both with the regents and with the legislature to some of these initiatives? Because, quite frankly, in recent years, the university has not gotten a receptive ear.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that there's always going to be challenges with regard to the funding of higher education, and in most states today are facing those types of challenges with budgets stretched so thin. I do think that we have a great case to make here in Milwaukee, and if you look at education around issues such as achievement gap, if you look at population health in terms of infant mortality, if you look at the research that's happening in our School of Freshwater Science on so many different fronts, and water is such an important topic today. If you want to talk about job creation and economic development, with Milwaukee as the economic engine of the state, I think it's critically important that we find the support, whether it be state, local, or other types of support, that really enables us to do our thing. As far as the receptivity, I think we are putting forward some great proposals. I think that we're right in there with other parts of the UW system that are looking to make that difference. But I will advocate most strongly, of course, for Milwaukee. I can't tell, just we're in the stages right now where we've begun to get some preliminary feedback. I do think the success that we've had around our past work around economic development incentive grants, UW-Milwaukee came out really well in those areas. And I would think that if we're competitive, if put forward the possibility of funding in a competitive stance, I think we would do really well. I say that based on the strength of our faculty, the difference that we have been able to demonstrate so far, and what the student experience can generate from that, the difference that can be made when you have so many again of our Wisconsin students that are here being able to stay and give back in the ways that they do. Mm-hmm. So I think the argument is sound.
We'll see what happens. So, and that brings us to the fourth prong that you mentioned, and that was the continuation on the strategic plan. It sounds like, what everything that you've been talking about in the other three kind of fits into that fourth prong, which is to demonstrate that these aren't one-off efforts.
Yeah. You're right. These are sustained. These are long-term. And some of the key elements in the strategic plan in terms of elevating our research profile, sometimes people might stand back and say, well, why research? What's we've got an awful lot of academic institutions, and there's great value in that and providing an education, but what does the research really add? And I urge people to stand back and think about in terms of how we look at the differences that can be made when we can look at the types of activities that, whether it's in our College of Nursing and the kinds of research that are done to advance healthcare practices, the types of things that happen in so many areas in our Zilber School of Public Health, for example. We talk about the population health indicators and the work that our researchers are doing and how students can have hands-on experience really making a difference. In our Lubar School of Business, the types of things that we see every day in terms of community engagements that make such a difference in terms of economic regional vitality to develop the talent that's further and so forth all the way through. But I also say that's our differentiator. Our in this region, as I look at the value and the importance of any thriving region economically, those regions that do the best. If we look today at whether it's the Silicon Valley or Boston or Atlanta, there's great public universities that are research-oriented that are at the heart of it. It's that vitality that draws in companies that want to have those students that are learning the cutting edge, the newest techniques. Our Johnson Controls work, where 16 students are placed as interns on labs that Johnson Controls helped us build on campus, that are learning the leading edge type of work around energy storage, lithium ion batteries for the greatest types of application developments in the world, and then get jobs at Johnson Controls and other companies like that. And this is why there's such great partnerships with these firms that can go anywhere in the world, but they've chosen to really work adjacent to or with us directly, and it's just powerful. So that's a key part of the strategic plan, and it's not that we've started doing this recently, but to elevate that profile is absolutely critical.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the baby steps, if you will, or what you inherited now and how you move forward. You've obviously inherited a staff as the interim chancellor. The cabinet continues to work with you. How are you working with them? Because you said on the first time we met on the air last month that you didn't want to just sit still. You wanted to make sure everything moved forward. You've outlined four very ambitious efforts to move forward. With your existing team, how are you moving forward?
The existing team, I couldn't be more positive about. They're great, great individuals to a person. The team dynamic is something that I really am excited about, helping us be as coherent as possible and continue to look out for all the different things that we see as opportunities. So as I look at the big picture, I see where a university as large as UW-Milwaukee has the potential for there to be, whether it's silos or departments that work in different ways that think that their goals and their areas are the be-all, end-all. And I think as interim chancellor, one of the opportunities that I have is to try to identify some of the central goals that help us all understand this is my work, my area as well. So enrollment, for example, or research is another area, or fundraising. In fact, these are not done in isolation, but really done better together. So that's what I've really enjoyed as far as bringing people into the conversation with the existing team members, not making personnel changes in any areas, but getting more people involved in conversations that help people understand all the different parts of a very complex organization. So I think that's one of the areas I've been quite excited about, and I've gotten a lot of positive feedback about being part of a conversation that really affects the entire university. Mm-hmm. So that's one key thrust of that. That's probably the most fundamental baby step, I guess you'd say.
Sure. But the other thing is you've inherited a cabinet. You've also inherited a faculty and a university that has seen some pretty dramatic financial implications in a negative sort of way. There's less money to do what people have wanted to do. You're having to deal with some of those realities even as you're beginning to think about what might be able to happen in the future. How do you manage what's going on right now?
Well, I think you're right. We've had, over the last 6 years, in part with our declining enrollment, in part with our with our challenging larger state budget that we face with respect to some of the ways that funding has occurred across the last three biennial budgets. It has been challenging. There's no question about it. The neat thing about UW-Milwaukee is, in light of that, despite those challenging cuts that we've had and experienced, we have a remarkable resolve. The Panther Nation is strong. Our faculty, I'd put up on top of any other faculty across the country in terms of just the departments, the individuals, the national, international rankings. They are amazing, and our staff and the work that we've been able to do has been great. As far as really being able to move forward, resource issues in the future are critical. And this is why enrollment is foundational, because if we can move our enrollments up the way we are funded today, it really makes a huge difference for our financial wherewithal. I do think that the type of philanthropy that can enable our work in terms of continued work around supporting faculty research, student scholarships, and other types of endowments can continue to make a huge difference as well at UW-Milwaukee.
What about the issue of pay for faculty and staff, the idea of being able to recruit and retain faculty and staff is always a challenge for the different colleges. How do you plan on tackling that?
We have some good news in that regard, that our system recognizes that. And I have been in my meetings that we've had at the system level, in the monthly meetings with the chancellors, meeting with UW system staff, I have been absolutely adamant that if we cannot address this issue satisfactorily, the long-term prospects for UW-Milwaukee and, frankly, for UW system are going to be challenged. Again, this is part of a larger national challenge that we've got, but because of some of those demographic factors that I described earlier, there are schools in the South, for example, that are better off and are doing well, and that's a concern. They're poaching some faculty. They're making offers, and we're making counteroffers whenever given the opportunity. So part of the financial situation for the future comes down to what can we do from a system-supported and system-allowed level. So what the good news is that we've been able to at least start to be able to study the extent to which we have to make a difference. What would it cost? What would it take? And so we've been authorized and asked to start putting together university by university what is the state of where we are in terms of how far behind our salary structure is. Now, I've broadened that as we've started to look at that at UW-Milwaukee. And while the UW system says this is for faculty, I've said we are going to have to look at this for staff as well. This is just too important. Our faculty and staff are in this together. And that's something that's very important to me. And I have put together a briefing in terms of some of the platform issues that I'm interested in. And this is one of those areas, faculty and staff pay. Now, in our scenario, in our case, we have a number of commitments that have been made in terms of many of the new initiatives that we have undertaken. And we have to look at our operating costs and determine, you know, how could we possibly look at creating some sort of faculty and staff salary exercise for the future that would allow this to occur. And that's the planning that we'll be undertaking. As interim chancellor, I cannot see in that time frame in a year being able to move this forward. But the planning for this is going to happen over the next probably 4 to 6 months in terms of understanding the magnitude and then determine how we would proceed with chasing down some good answers to that.
What about partnerships with other organizations? I mean, your predecessor worked very hard to establish a lot of partnerships with other educational institutions and other entities in Milwaukee. You obviously have to work with the regents. You have to work with elected officials. How do you see moving forward on that?
That's also a very exciting part of the work. You know, I think that I could tick off between 15 and 20 different types of partner organizations that we are either at the table with or will be working with much, much more strongly. You know, the types of things that we're doing in the education arena include Milwaukee Education Partnership, the Milwaukee Succeeds. Of course, the Water Council is tremendously exciting. There's so many different organizations, and I don't know if you've heard about this activity, but just tomorrow we're flying down to Washington, D.C., to the White House, in fact. The Water Council's helped put together a small group of individuals that we'll be visiting with eight different advisors in the White House, as well as the four congressional representatives from Wisconsin, to really put forward a huge case for making Milwaukee the regional water hub, akin to what you see in Atlanta around Center for Disease Control. We think the importance of water, whether it's the management, the policy, security, the treatment, and so forth, we are the basis for that. The 150 different companies that we're joined with for the Water Council, the numerous other higher education organizations. Not everybody knows that there's basically across at least 10 of those four-year educational institutions, about 28 different programs. UW-Milwaukee, however, is the crown jewel in that. We have our School of Freshwater Science that, as you know, has been in place since not as a school, but in 1966 we began the Great Lakes Freshwater Research Institute. We're the largest and the most established on the Great Lakes today, and we've got that $54 million addition going in, which will be open in days. That is going to add 100,000 square feet for research, teaching, and other things. That we've got 50 some graduate students that are at that school today, and just a huge difference that we're able to make. But this is an example of the type of collaboration that we're doing, and that's the power of that. Companies that have come together, universities working with government to really make a huge difference on something that's of global impact.
Mm-hmm. So getting the word out, getting the positive word out about UWM seems to be something that you care very much about, and I presume that was one of the reasons why UWM decided to get behind the marketing campaign with the formerly known as the U.S. Cellular Arena, now the UWM Panther Arena.
Yes, the UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena is one of those activities that we had the opportunity to move forward on, and this discussion had been underway for several months when I became the interim chancellor, and I looked at this and wanted to make sure that we knew where the funds were, that this was not raising additional money to do this. This, in fact, was the use of existing budgets from a couple of different major areas, but really about half a dozen areas were able to reallocate funds and say, this is huge. This gets our name, the logo and our name, right in the heart of downtown Milwaukee. Millions of visitors, millions of alumni, faculty, students, and others can see this. Not that we have millions of alumni. Don't get me wrong.
Only.
That's later in my tenure as interim chancellor. But I think the visibility is absolutely huge. And I have to tell you, I've heard three separate newscasts that were not about UWM, but they were with cameras pointed at and visibility of what is now known as the UWM Panther Arena. So it's out there, and it's just something that enables us to do a lot of events. We're already there for commencement twice a year. We're already there for all our men's basketball teams. We do a number of other things, and now we have a venue that we don't have on campus. On campus, we're limited to 3,400 seats. At the Panther Arena, we've got about 12,000, and we also will be doing some additional, you know, concerts and lecture series. There's a lot of excitement that I can see for that.
Yeah. Also, I was aware that Wisconsin's Veteran Affairs Secretary visited UWM to talk about different veterans-focused initiatives.
That was a real highlight. To have Secretary John Skokos on campus last week was a real neat thing, and we were able to share with him a number of the different programs, a number of things that are happening at UW-Milwaukee. It's something that a lot of folks don't know about, that we have the largest population of military and student veterans on any particular campus, with 1,250 actively enrolled, and it's just a great population to work with. We have some things also that folks don't know about necessarily. We're a Pat Tillman Foundation partner university, of which there's just 15 in the nation. And this allows veterans and spouses that attend UWM to be eligible for financial support through that foundation. Pat Tillman, you might recall, was the former NFL player who walked away from the NFL to serve in the military and was unfortunately killed in service in Vietnam or in Afghanistan. We also have the Vet Success on Campus program, where we are one of a small number, less than 100 universities in our country that have a full-time veteran representative. This is, in our case, Gretchen Schutte, who has come over. She herself is a longtime employee of the VA, and she's on our campus today. And she's able to advise and provide different enrollment advice and perspectives for our veterans. And there's several other aspects. We host a Veterans Week. Last year, we had the mayor and county supervisor, Mayor Barrett, and supervisor, our county executive, Chris Abley, came and helped us serve breakfast. And we called that Serving Those Who Serve. And it was a great program. And we had about 150 to 200 people filter through during the morning and then more later in the day. And really great opportunity to interact and engage with our veterans and students.
Yeah, and again, because the demographics are different than what you would think of as a normal, you know, fresh out of high school, that changes the whole atmosphere of a university campus too.
It really does. There's a lot of diversity that's brought forward with veterans in the classroom. It's important to look at, you know, one of the experiences that many faculty, when they come to teach at UWM, they're amazed at a number of aspects that include individuals who work full-time, individuals from other countries. The veterans increasingly today, because of the great benefits that the state and federal government have supported and the large number of veterans who've served in different deployments, I have seen some of our programs go to where they have as many as 15% or 20% of their student population have veterans in them. And it does add a rich diversity to the classroom.
Does that also help? I mean, you know, we were talking about the demographics of the average college student or those who enroll. By broadening it, by making the university more welcome to returning veterans, is that part of the strategy, or is that not big enough to be part of the strategy to deal with enrollment issues?
Well, I would say that falls into that category of what I mentioned earlier about the non-traditional student. It has to be part of the mix. There's no question. Today, with 1,250 students with military experience or currently serving, so veteran or military serving, that's a substantial number, and we see it as a growth trajectory. And when I was visiting with the secretary, Veterans Affairs Secretary for the state, he talked about what he anticipated was even further growth in Wisconsin. And we talked about some of the strategies and some of the support. He also talked about how positive he's heard that UWM is for veterans. And he said he hears nothing like that from the other schools. That there are positive things from other schools, but it really stands out. So I see this with international students as another demographic. I see this with transfer students, where students have – and I'm not just talking about the student who at 18 went to a two-year school and at 20 is ready for four-year. I'm talking about students who actively have and or had careers, graduates of the two-year of the technical college system that have been working for 10, 15, 20 years. So I absolutely see us as finding many, many more opportunities. And one of the strengths that we have in that regard is some of our new and emerging programs that makes it easier for students around the state to participate in our flex and online learning programs, where we're getting more programs up and running all of the time. And we have some other ideas, some other activities underway that are similar to what you've probably seen with Arizona State and Starbucks, where we're talking about some of the alliances and some of the partnerships that would really benefit Wisconsin organizations, not just corporations, but all sorts of different organizations, whether it's in healthcare, in business, in nonprofit agencies, lots of different populations that might have their employees distributed throughout Wisconsin or potentially beyond.
We're out of time, but once again, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll look forward to our conversation with you again next month.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's just a pleasure to be here.